person who is cleanly separated. So the Mishnah talks about, let's say, the water that goes into your mouth, that's one thing when you're drinking, but what about the water that goes onto your mustache? Did you take that on purpose? So the Rush says that, yeah, since that's an inevitable part of drinking, that there's going to be water that's going to go into your mustache when you're doing this, so that's like a separation, essentially. You find that concept applying there as well. Similarly, the Russian Bava Kama has a comment in terms of Nezikin, that if you cause damage to a person in a way that wasn't your intent, but it was inevitable, so then that can be considered your Maisa there as well. And the Mukhi Yosef explains that that's, again, the same kind of idea that we find by Shabbos of Psikresha, that's applicable here as well. So this question of what Psikresha accomplishes, whether it makes it into one Maisa or whether it makes it into your Kavana, could also be relevant to an issue that's a very prominent one. The question of what if you could theoretically do it without the psik ratio, but right now you're doing it in a way that's psik ratio. In other words, does psik ratio have to mean that it always, A always leads to B, or just right now that A is going to lead to B? Because it seems to be that there are some views in Rishonim, perhaps, that if A doesn't always lead to B, that's not called a psik ratio, even if now it definitely will. So why should it make a difference if it doesn't always? Okay, right now it's going to lead to a malacha. Why does it matter that it doesn't have to lead to the malacha always? Question about that?
Yeah, this is not the same as suffix secretia?
No, it's not the same. The question is, what if right now what you're going to do is going to bring about a malacha? But you could do it in a way. There is such a way that it doesn't have to lead to a malacha. Does that make a difference? So it seems that there are some Rishonim who think it does. Who's associated with this? Rashi and Zvachim and Daf Tzadi Aleph sounds like he's saying this, because Rashi there talks about spilling the wine on the flames. So Rashi says it's okay to use the big drops that will extinguish the flames, because you could have used thin drops. Okay, so you could have used thin drops, but you're not using thin drops. So it sounds like he's saying that even though you are using thick drops now, since you could possibly use thinner drops, it's not called the psikration. It's an interesting idea. There are those who read Rashi differently, but it seems like that's what Rashi means. The Bekevis HaMishnah understands Rashi like that, and he also understands the Rambam like that, because the Rambam doesn't have certain conditions. Like, for example, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, which talks about plucking the endives out of the field, and the Gemara asks, so, well, why is it not Psik Resha Denichle? And the Gemara says, because it's somebody else's field. So there, the Rambam doesn't bring that requirement of somebody else's field. So why does the Rambam not bring it? So the Mekevis HaMishnah says, because the Rambam doesn't have to bring it, because the Gemara is just explaining that a possibility could exist, so therefore it's not called psik ratio. It doesn't mean that the possibility has to actually be in play. It just means, since there could be such a possibility, this isn't called a psik ratio. So the Rambam doesn't have to bring it to the halacha, because it's not an actual requirement. It's just that since such a possibility exists, this situation is not a psik ratio. That's how the Mekevis HaMishnah understands it. Hi.
But if we're still saying that even psik ratio, the lo nichole would be a, I guess it's a rabbanon, at least one understanding of the gufa. So if you have an opportunity to do it a different way, why would you ever not do it that way?
Right, so that's an interesting question in of itself. So that's Daniel made that point that one might think this is actually worse. So one might say this is kind of lahachis, kind of amazing. Right, so that's an interesting question in of itself, which is worthy of discussion. But we'll leave it aside for now. That it just may, as counterintuitive as it may seem, it may nonetheless mean that it's not going to be considered a psik ratio. Maybe you're not required to take that care. That as long as it's not defined as once, as long as it's not defined as being a malacha. So you're not required to adjust for it.
I was thinking maybe you could say also that the fact that there, even there is a way to get around doing it, the fact that you're doing it this way shows, the fact that there's another opportunity shows that you know Shiva's this way. No,
maybe. So this whole question seems to address itself, I guess it's a little what you're getting at, but it probably makes more sense in the one Maisa shot, the idea that a psik ratio makes A and B into one Maisa. So maybe you could say it only does that when it's always one Maisa. But if it's sometimes not connected, so then it's not considered to be one mice. So this issue also comes up in the major machlokas that we spent some significant time on with the Ran and the Rashba and the Yishulta Gibar. The Rashba and the Ran were in two different extremes, and the Shulta Gibarim was in the middle. The Rashba had discussed the following situation. Let's say somebody is about to go to Shul Shabbos morning, and he finds that there is a deer in his house. So he figures, okay, I'm going to lock my door anyway because I don't want my stuff to get stolen. And, excellent bonus, free deer. Sorry?
Oh, deer.
Yes, okay. So, excellent bonus. So the Rashba says that's mutter to do. It's mutter to lock the door with the intent to protect his stuff and his deer, and his new deer, because he's also doing it to protect his house. He's also locking his door normally. And the Ran is in complete disagreement with that. The Ran says, not only are you not allowed to have both in mind, you're not allowed to do this at all. That even if all you're interested in doing is locking your door to protect your stuff, and you're not interested in the deer, the fact that it's a psik reisha, you're going to lock up the deer, that makes it a malacha of tzad, and we wouldn't allow it at all. And the Shulta Kibarim, so he has kind of a compromise view. He says that if you're essentially just trying to, the Rashba was willing to let you have both in mind. And Shulta Gibarim is basically that if you're just interested in locking up your door to protect your stuff, and there's also going to be the deer there, then it's mutter. And in the context of saying that, the Shulta Gibarim says that if you have a psik reisha situation where it's not always going to be the psik reisha, but it just sometimes is, so then, like we've seen so far, like the Rashi and possibly the Rambam, that's not called the psik reisha. He says this is included in the Rashba. It's not as big of a chiddush as the Rashba. It's a kal v'chomer from the Rashba. And this is an issue that's invoked by halacha all the time. We mentioned that the Shulta Gibarim's compromise is a popular compromise. So just for example, we talked recently about Zoreya. So the question that comes up about whether you can open your window in your house if you have a plant in your house is a problem of enhancing the plant growth. And there are basically three views. You could take a Rashba view that you're allowed to do that even if you want your plant to grow. The Ran view that you're not allowed to do that even if you don't care about the plant, but you just want light in the room. And the Shulta Gibarim type view, which is a popular view, that if your intent is to bring more light in the room, then you don't necessarily have to worry about the fact that you're also going to give nourishment to the plant that's in the room at the same time. So the Rashba is a very important shita and is sometimes applied to halacha, sometimes not. Some agree with it, sometimes some don't. But part of the question is just what is he getting at? What exactly is the nature of his chiddush? What's the difference between what the Rashba is talking about and a normal type of segregation situation? Why is his situation any different? So there are basically at least four ways to look at it. So one way to look at it is that situation where it's not always going to be connected to the Isser, like we just mentioned. And that's the way the Yeshua Siakov understands the Rashba. One could also argue, this is not going to be so helpful for other cases, but there are some who understand the Rashba as focusing specifically on Tzad. That maybe Tzad is a kind of malacha which is defined by your desire to want the animal. Therefore somewhat of a Zomer Vitzarach Laitzin kind of Svara, or a Tikkun Kli kind of Svara, that maybe Tzad has its own unique qualities to it. The Avner Nezer and others understand a different pshat, that the significance here is that you don't do any action on the Tzvi itself. You're just locking your door, and it happens to be Mimela that the deer turns up to be trapped. So that's also perhaps a helpful element here. That also comes up in the window and the plant discussion as well, because since you're not doing anything to the plant, you're just opening the window, and it happens to be that opening the window has a benefit to the plant, but you're not performing any action on the plant. That's consistent with those who understand the Rashba to be talking about that. Hi.
Just with the difference between the fact that it's sudden versus there's no action done to the deer itself, people's plan should be whether it applies everywhere else, because that's also a unique aspect.
Sometimes. Except, as we discussed, it's not always unique to tzad. We just gave an example where it applies in Zriya. And also, even tzad is not always done that way. You could do tzad more directly. If I take a net and throw it on top of an animal, you know, that's also tzad. So it's not like tzad is always defined that way, and it's not like only tzad is defined that way. So, hi.
What
did Yeshua Yaakov say? Yeshua Yaakov said the way that we've been saying till now, that the issue is that you could, it's not automatically linked to the consequence, that you could do this in a way that doesn't have the malacha involved, so therefore even in this situation, if it does, it's not called the psikration. A third interpretation is that of the Chem de Shlomo, and the Chassam Sofer says this also, that here, so you have these two mice protecting your house and trapping the deer. So what makes things relevant is that there's an overwhelming bias on the first action. The fact that you have to lock your door, the need to do that is so overwhelming and self-evident that that becomes the defining factor. Right? You clearly have to lock your door because that's what every normal person is going to do. So we don't have to look at these two actions and try to figure out what your intent is or try to figure out is one primary and one secondary. It's very clear that as much as you might be happy to get a free deer, it's more important that you don't lose everything you already have. And this is also expressed in Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim to Sukkah, and saying a very similar approach. He says, you know, what's the alternative? You mean mafker all your stuff? So again, that shows that your intent when doing this is not really focused on the deer. Your intent is focused on not losing all of your existing property. So essentially, the Rashba Svara, if this is correct, would only apply in a situation where the heter action is overwhelmingly, self-evidently your main motivation. Okay. And the fourth approach, the approach of the Meshav B'Halacha, is that normally action A leads to action B, and action B is a pure malacha. Here, the action that has the malacha has mixed in with it also an action of heter, because the action that traps the deer is also done to close your door of your house, so that's a little bit different than action A provoking action B, and action B is a pure malacha. So that's a whole discussion then exactly whether the Rashba is brought lahalacha or not. It's a big debate. And if you want to bring lahalacha, then you have to figure out which version of the Rashba are you maintaining, what svara are you taking from the Rashba in order to apply lahalacha. The Magen Avraham, for example, quotes the Rashba and says that ein lahakel kol kach. So what does that mean, kol kach? There are some who understand that he's basically saying with the Shulta Kibarim, that it's an in-between svara. Some type of an average kula, not full kula in lahakal kolkach. So it's a continuing, raging discussion whether to follow the Rashba or not. And again, as we mentioned, there are many who favor the Shulta Kibarim's compromise. The Nishmas Shabbos, we mentioned the Rav Harfenis, has a few interesting chakiras about this, which also tie into the question. For example, what if you think that you see somebody about to do an action that's a psik resha, but the person doesn't know it's a psik resha? So then, is it necessarily the case that this is considered to be one action, or is considered to be kavana? And this is something that could happen all the time. A person doesn't know that what he's going to do, doesn't know about the light in the fridge, for example. He doesn't know that what he's going to do is about to trigger a malacha. So is that your responsibility? Do you have to be mafreshim or not? Do you have to separate this person from that action? So he leans towards the svara that you probably should be mafreshim, but from a strict lamdusha perspective, he thinks that maybe it's the case that this is not necessarily considered to be a psik resha. And he writes in a tshuva right after this that also one could argue that if you have a katan, so in general there are those who might want to be makel with a katan and a psik resha in general, because the question of das by a katan is itself an issue. But even without going that far, if a katan doesn't know that what he's doing is going to provoke a malacha, so then he thinks there's a strong svara to say it's okay to have a katan do such an action because you're two steps removed from it being an intentional malacha, because the katan is a katan and the action is not being done with das to be done. Yes, Sammy?
Would that allow, in certain situations where I guess the child is younger, would that allow for parent, you know, let's say something makes them turn the light off the roof, and this is a really young child, doesn't necessarily understand that, you know, like, it's just a really cool toy. plays with. Would that allow them to?
Possibly, if they're really that young.
I don't know.
Bishas HaTzorech, maybe somebody would make such a svar. I think a more likely possibility is, you know, the fridge-like kind of thing where they think it's off and they don't know that it's going to go on. Light switch, they pretty quickly realize that the light switch is turn on lights. Even at very young ages, but maybe theoretically you can make a case, but you'd have to get them pretty early in their lifetime in order to catch them unaware of that.
So he said that you should stab somebody?
Yes, although he's not so sure that Mikra HaDin you have to. It says that, practically speaking, it's probably grounds to stop him, but he is noted towards the Svara that it's not really a psikratia. And he also mentions that it may depend on the whole Misasek question, that if you follow Rabbi Akiva Eger's idea that Misasek is still an Aveira, so maybe you have to stop somebody from being Misasek to turn on the light.
So a practical thing I thought is like those lights that kind of houses that go on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to tell you who's not familiar with the street, so you're saying
yeah.
You should tell him to walk around. Even though I might think, oh, he doesn't know there's a light, don't turn on. I'll let him walk ahead of me, he'll turn on the light, and I don't have to go around.
So that's what you think that Maker had been. It might be that's true. That he comes out taking all the factors into consideration, it's probably could die to be Mafreshim, but Meikar HaDin, he leans towards the Svara that maybe it's really mutter for him to do that. So if you have a Jasa Tchak, it might be the best way to handle it. Hi.
Why would there be secretion?
So it normally is, but let's say somebody's going to open it who doesn't know that it's on, doesn't know the light's on. So if you don't know that your situation is a secretion, is that considered to be a psikratia? Maybe the whole premise of psikratia is since it's foreseeable and inevitable, you know it's going to happen, so then it's like your kavana. But if you don't know it, so then maybe it shouldn't be. So then the question becomes, if you see somebody, if you really didn't know it, you wouldn't be asking the question. So the issue is, what if you see somebody else about to do this, are you mechuyev to stop him or not? And then he went on to say, well, what if it's a child? And if it's a child, it's two steps removed already. The child doesn't know that it's going to lead to a malacha, and the child's das is already going to remove. That could also be grounds.
And it's Nichalei,
yeah, so that's tricky because that's just a general fridge question, whether the fridge is called Nichalei or Lo Nichalei. So it's generally assumed that it's considered to be Nichalei because you can see in the fridge. That's why the light's there in the first place. Yeah, if it wasn't... Right, so if you really didn't need the light, you would just remove it permanently.
Or if someone else's fridge.
Sorry? If somebody else's fridge. Yeah. Okay, you can make such a case, maybe. But do you remove your own fridge light permanently?
Would I?
Yeah, see, the point is, if you have a light in your fridge at home, so then you're kind of making a statement that you like having a light in the fridge. Because if you didn't, you know, you would take it out forever. Because you take it out, if you turn it off every Friday so you don't have a Shabbos issue.
Right?
So why don't you take the first Friday and take it out forever? The reason you don't take it out forever is because you want to turn it back on once you Shabbos. You want to turn it back on because you like having light in the fridge, so that seems to be the issue. Hi.
Can't we just say that this suffix integration is just like the same as a pod that I never shame was copy, just like their bottom?
It's a, what do you mean by Dvada Adam Shem is Gavin?
Because you're sure that it might, you're not sure if it's going to happen, so you're therefore in a definite Dvada Adam Shem is case.
So it goes back to being
Dvada Adam Shem is,
which would be Mutter, maybe.
But is it, did we say it's,
could be Mutter? No, we haven't necessarily said it's Mr. Mutter, it could be Mutter.
Okay, but do we assume that it's like Dvada Adam Shem is, or is it even less than that?
Well, what situation would be less than that? What's the situation?
You have a case where you have that you have this light switch as a history really being broken half the time.
Oh, okay, so half the time. So now you're getting into another issue. That's a good segue to what we're up to. So what if it's likely to be a psikratia, but not 100%? We could call karvul psikratia. So here there's a little bit of a discussion, which probably also depends on the lumbus of what's going on. The Gemara in Kaf Chaf talks about Abaye cursing out somebody who opens the door next to a candle, presumably because the wind coming in from the door could blow out the candle. So what does he mean by that? So does that mean it's Asur, it's Asur Drabanan? So the Meiri seems to sound like there's an Asur Drabanan involved. The Maharsha talks about it being not separation Amish, but Karav Lipsikration. So there are those who understand that there's an Issa Drabanan of Karav Lipsikration. There are those who understand the Egle Tal reads the Uraim as saying actually there's an Issa Daraisa of Karav Lipsikration. While there are others who say that it doesn't matter if it's karov, if it's a tzad, it's not going to happen. So then that's already not up to the creation. So it gets a little bit into the question of the one ma'isa, probably the question of the one ma'isa versus kavana idea. That if it's one ma'isa, it probably has to be pretty much a one-to-one linkage. It probably has to be close to 100%, or more than close, generally 100% under normal circumstances. While if it's about foreseeability, then if it's very, very likely, incredibly likely, one could perhaps practically call that a psik resha as well. Another major discussion and a major issue in Poskim is what about a psik resha by a drabbanim? Does that make a difference? So here you have the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin and the Meiri were of the view that a psik resha by a drabbanim is mutter. Although the Vilna Gaon understood it as meaning only if you have two drabbanans together, that it's both drabbanan and lo nichale. But in general, Trumas Hadeshin is quoted straight as saying that a psik resha by a drabbanan is mutter, and the Magen Avraham strongly disagrees. Magen Avraham says, no, even if it's a drabbanan that's involved, psik resha is still asur. So there are some possible modifications even within this view. For example, this variation, one place quotes the Magen Avraham as saying that a psik resha by drabbanan is mutter. And if Shlomo Zalman asked him, what are you talking about? The Magen Avraham very explicitly disagrees. So he explains that what does he mean by the Magen Avraham saying it's mutter? He means in a case of Amir al-Akum it's mutter. Because psik resha means that we consider it to be your action. So since it's happening through the Akum, okay, so we won't consider it to be the Akum's action on behalf of you. So because you have somebody else in between, so that's a fundamental difference. Similarly, we mentioned also the Chuvah's Mishnah Shlema, the Bells Are Dying, who talks about a situation where somebody wants to use a kli shir for a non-playing it purpose, but it's a psik resha that it will lead to it being played. So then he wants to argue that should be mutter, even according to the Machmirim on the Mitzvah Derabbanan, because of the nature of the Derabbanan. What's the nature of the Derabbanan? That you're not supposed to play an instrument because we're afraid you might want to come to fix it. But here, if you're not trying to play the instrument in the first place, so you're not going to be bothered by whether it's the right chord, whether it's the right tune, so there's no chashash you're going to come to fix it, so in a situation like that, it could be makel. He thinks even the Magen Avraham would be makel about that. So just those two points, that maybe even the Machmirim might acknowledge some differences, some area for heter, even if they don't normally think that drabbanan makes a difference. So what's the issue here to say whether or not there should be a difference if it's a drabbanan? What's the issue? So you could say the question is psik resha itself an issa deraisa or an issa drabbanan? That if psik resha itself is a full-blown deraisa liability, then you could say that it essentially is the same as actually doing the thing. So even if the issur involved is drabbanan, then it's no different than violating a drabbanan on purpose. But if psik resha itself is a din drabbanan, it's a minority view, then maybe you could say, okay, these are two drabbanans, a chumra drabbanan on top of a din drabbanan, maybe we should be makel. Alternatively, we could say that it's not really about that, but it's about the svaras of psik resha, whether we consider it to be your one action or whether we consider it to be your kavana. So then what about the nature of drabbanans in general? So for example, we mentioned that there are those who understand that drabbanan as a whole means an isser of rebellion, that you're not allowed to rebel against Chazal, and if you're going to violate Nisr drabbanan, it means you are rebelling against the authority of Chazal. So maybe we should say that only applies if you're actually committing the drabbanan. But if you're provoking the drabbanan because you're doing something else, maybe that's not called merit. Or another svara that we mentioned, that if you assume that your kavana is supplied by the action, so maybe we can distinguish between a derais and a drabbanan in terms of the cheftza gavra svara that we've mentioned in the past. That maybe daraisas have their own inherent kavana, and therefore you get nailed with that kavana. Or maybe drabbanans, you have to supply the kavana, and if you are failing to supply the kavana, so then maybe that's not going to necessarily be considered to be an Isser. So that's another possibility. Then we also talked about the question of Suffolk Psikratia. Suffolk Psikratia sounds like a contradiction in terms. Psikratia means definite and Suffolk means not definite. So how do they come together? How could you have a Suffolk Psikratia? So the situation is that there's a metzias you're not sure about. Like, for example, you're not sure if the light is on in the fridge or not. So if the light is on, you know that if you open the door, you're definitely going to turn it on. But if it's not on, then you won't. So the psikratia is there, except you don't know if the facts are relevant. You don't know if the metzias is such. So the Taz has a statement that a suffix psikratia he thinks is mutter. And the question is that against Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Yerodea has a comment that the Ramah says that a person shouldn't stoke the coals under, let's say you see a non-Jew who's barbecuing something. So the Ramah says you shouldn't stoke the coals because maybe what he's cooking is basar b'chalav. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks, well, what do you mean maybe what he's cooking is basar b'chalav? But maybe it isn't. It's not a psikratia kind of situation. So there he says that no, psikratia is when you have a question in the future, you have a question in the future, maybe it will, maybe it won't lead to an issur. But here, the suffix that you have is not about what will happen if you do this, it's what is the current situation, is there basar b'chalav in this pot or not? So that type of suffix, you'd have to be machmera. So this seems to be the opposite of what the Taz was saying. The Taz was saying you can be makel on a suffix in the facts. And here, Akiva Eiger is saying you have to be machmir, dafke, if the suffix is in the facts. So you could say they're arguing, or you could say, as some have suggested, that it's a difference between Shabbos and everything else. The Taz says hisvar in terms of Shabbos, where melechus machshavus is the operative element, and Akiva Eiger is talking in a different area of halacha, and maybe they don't necessarily disagree. So that's a major issue in of itself. And Rav Harfenis has a tshuva about that, where he says that if the issue itself is drabanan, so then he thinks everyone will be matur then. If it's drabanan and it's a suffix in the facts, put those two together, then he thinks there's very strong grounds to be makel. So here again, the question could be, are we talking about sveika d'oraisa or sveika d'rabanan? That might be part of the question. Or you could look at this question differently and you could say that maybe it's not called one maisa, or it probably is called one maisa, maybe it's not called miskaven if you don't know that the facts are there to have a psikration. Maybe one maisa probably would be actually, but in terms of calling it miskaven, maybe you can't call it miskaven if you don't necessarily know that it's actually going to happen. We also mentioned there's a question of the relationship between Chatzi Shir and Psikratia, and that the Kajib Lever Rav and a few others thought that you have no Psikratia by Chatzi Shir, because since Chatzi Shir requires a Svara of Achshuve, that you give significance through your paying attention to the Isser, then that only applies if you're intentionally doing the Isser. But if you are provoking the Isser by doing something else, so then we can't say that you are giving it chashivas because you're not trying to do it in the first place. You're trying to do something else. So therefore, he maintains quite cogently that there's no iser chatzi shir with a psikratia. I'm sorry?
Psikratia.
A normal psikratia. Right? A full-blown psikratia, but if the iser that you would be doing would be an iser chatzi shir, so then it says the chumra of chatzi shir wouldn't apply to what happening through a psikratia. Because the chumra comes from your intending to give it chashivas, which you're not doing. Okay, a major issue lahalacha, a major question lahalacha, was should we say that if somebody doesn't want to do the malacha, not because he's not interested in the outcome objectively, but because he doesn't want to be mechalel Shabbos. He doesn't want the malacha to happen simply for religious reasons. Lo nichalei lechalel Shabbos. Can we call that lo nichalei? So that, most of the postman thought, doesn't make a difference, but it's an interesting discussion of itself. Where do they get their makoros on this topic? Mostly from the sugya in both Mitzia and Daf Lamed about Para Aduma. That there the Gemara says that you have a Para Aduma, Sha'ala Allah HaZachar, that, sorry?
That's
bad luck. So is it bad luck or is it good luck? That's the thing. It's considered to be normally good, but bad because it disqualifies it as the para aduma. So is that good or bad? So was that considered to be... So apparently it's considered to be good because it has to be nichale in order for it to be considered malacha. So apparently we consider it nichale, we consider it good, even though it passes your para aduma. So the Rishonim say, why don't we say you don't want your para aduma to get passed, therefore it's lo nichale. So there are different answers in the Rishonim. Some say that we have to look at it abstractly without the consequences. Some say we look at it just as in terms of categorically what all cows would prefer, what all cow owners would prefer. The Ran says it's a logical problem. And you can't say that the reason why it's bad is the reason why it's good. That'll make your head explode. You can't say that the whole issue is that it was used, and it was used in a way that you're happy about. Oh, but if you're happy about it, that makes it bad, therefore you're not happy about it. It can't be that's the way it works. It's too inherently explosive. So therefore, that just can't be the case. So all of this is invoked in the context of Nichalei by Shabbos, when the post can bring all of this discussion. And even though we mentioned at the time that we could see some reasons to say a little bit differently, that there are some differences between the Parah Aduma situation and the Shabbos situation. First of all, in the Parah Aduma situation, what's not nichalei to you is not the action itself, it's the consequence of the action. And the fact that the Parah Aduma is going to be disqualified, that's what upsets you. So you could say, but all right, without that, what's happening right now might be nichalei. Well, in the case of Shabbos, if you're doing a malacha as you do this action, the malacha itself, if you're a religious person, we're not talking about the skila that will come with it, but the avera, so then you can say that the malacha itself is lo nichalei. So just that might be one reason to distinguish. In the other direction, you could also say that in the context of Parah Aduma, it's not really a spiritual consideration, it's really a financial consideration. That yes, it's halachic factors, but what bothers you is that you won't be able to profit from the Parah Aduma. In the case of Hilchos Shabbos, it's purely spiritual angst, it's purely spiritual issues that are worrying you, and then the question of whether or not to consider that lo nichalei is a fair question, but doesn't necessarily have to draw from this point. Perhaps the Ran Svar is probably the most compelling in terms of applying it here, that it doesn't make sense to say that which makes it usur is by definition what makes it mutter. That's a hard thing to say. So that's probably an inherent logical issue, and maybe that can be carried over. So he mentioned that in the Sefer Nesivos Shalom, on Melechus Machshavos, so he makes the following distinction. That even if we say that we don't factor in your religious issues in terms of nichalei, so what about in terms of miskaven? What about, let's say, intent? So what if somebody is not trying to do a malacha, is not being miskaven for a malacha, but the reason he's not being miskaven for it is because of Hilchos Shabbos. He wants to try to avoid Hilchos Shabbos, otherwise he would be miskaven. Should we discount that as well? So he says, no, there's a difference between nichalei and kavanah. Nichalei is more automatic, it's either good for you or not, while kavanah is more intentional. You're either choosing something or not choosing to do something, and we don't care why you choose not to do it. If the facts are you're choosing not to do it, that's enough. So based on that, he wanted to also challenge a psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. That Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said the following. He says, let's say you tie a knot on Shabbos, and you tie it with the intent to untie it Motzi Shabbos, because you don't want it to be a violation of Shabbos, you don't want it to be a kasher shel kayama that's going to last for 24 hours. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, that's not going to help you. If the only reason you're untying it is because you don't want it to be a chilul Shabbos, then we're not going to factor that in. We have to look at it as if it was Tuesday. If you were tying this on Tuesday morning, would you untie it Tuesday night? If so, then it's a kasher she'enil shel kayama. But if the only reason you're untying it is to avoid Chil Shabbos, then we don't factor that in. So the Nesivos Shalom disagreed with that. He said, no, that's in terms of nichalei. But in terms of intent, if your intent is to untie it, so then we don't care why you intend to untie it. The bottom line is, you intend to untie it. That's enough reason to consider it a kasher she'enil shel kayama. Lemaiser of Shlomo Zalman in a tshuva about this issue, so he's machmir on this nichale machmas iser issue, that we don't let you say that it's lo nichale because you don't want to be mechal Shabbos, even though he notes that the Ran and Chulin seems to say differently, because the Ran and Chulin talks about people who are wearing kiloyim for other purposes, and it's not a violation of Shabbos because they're not mechavin for levisha. So the Razoran explains, why are they not mechavin for levisha? Because they don't want to violate Shabbos. So here's a situation where they're saved by their lack of kavanah. And what's the cause of the lack of kavanah? Purely religious reasons. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, that's different. Because when it comes to Shabbos, if you have no intent to wear it, that's by definition not a violation of Shabbos. That's part of the conditions of Shabbos. But it wouldn't necessarily be relevant in terms of figuring out other areas, in terms of figuring out Hachla Shabbos as well. Okay, let's try to quickly get another point or two, and then we may have to continue the first few minutes of tomorrow. So we talked also about the question of Hana, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, where it says that there's a whole back and forth about Hana, the Habala Bal Korcho, if a person is in a situation where he's going to get Hana from a Vrazara, let's say. So it basically comes out from the Gemara that if a person doesn't have another option, efshir, and it's lo machaving, that it's mutter. And the Rush there says that it's not psik resha, because he could stuff up his nose, or his ears, or whatever is relevant. So it sounds like the Rush is saying, like we said before, that if there's a way to do it a different way, that it's not psik resha. Sounds like he's applying it here as well. The Chachmas Adam, however, was very machmer, and the Chachmas Adam said that a person in such a situation would have to actually plug up his nose and his ears in order to make sure that it's not going to be a psik resha. Then he would say, if anything still gets through, if you plugged up your nose and your ears, okay, so that's a davar she'eino miskaven, that's not psik resha, but he would require you to do that. That, as the Chafetz Chaim and others note, that's a big chumra. And the Chafetz Chaim also notes that perhaps you're more makel on this area because there's no actual maisa that you're doing that we would join together with the consequences. The Chafetz Chaim himself applies this to Shmias Lashon Hara. He maintains that there's an Isser Derais of Shmias Lashon Hara, which is a Chiddush. There's an Isser Derais, according to everybody, of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. But Shmias is not the same thing as Kabbalah. Listening is not the same thing as accepting. But the Chafetz Chaim was Mechadish that Shmias Lashon Hara is an Isser. So the Chafetz Chaim says, if somebody finds himself in a group of people who are speaking Lashon Hara and he's already stuck there, and he's not able to leave, and he's not able to plug up his ears either, so what should he do? So he says three conditions. Perhaps he's not in violation if he does three conditions. One is that he's not makabel. Two is that he doesn't say or do anything that will encourage and validate the conversation. And three is it has to be lo nichale. So what does he mean by nichale? Apparently he is taking this terminology here also, and transferring it over here, that Nichale, if he accepts, if he's happy about the Lashon Hara, so then that makes it into something he's chayav for, together with having gone there in the first place. So once he went to this group, and now it's Nichale, so then that all becomes his action. Whether or not Nichale is the right term here is really applicable. So some suggest that Kabbalah's Lashon Hara specifically, since Lashon Hara is all about the impact on the heart, so if it's not Nichale, it's mamish nothing. Maybe that's the relevant concern. And then we talked also about the tshuva of a contemporary sefer, the Hechafetz B'chaim. Somebody's in the bathroom and he hears people talking Lashon Hara, so he's stuck there. So he talks about this condition of the Chafetz Chaim, and he understands the reason he's not Machaber, he says, because some of the Rishonim and Pesachim say that getting Hana is the same thing as Machaber. He's saying, as long as you don't get Hana, then we won't treat you as if you are Machaber. Okay, trying to think whether we should try to stick in another point or two. All right, maybe we should, we still have another little bit in order to finish off this topic. We really want to continue with new material. So probably have about 5-10 minutes left. So we will let everyone get to Mincha now. And tomorrow morning we will start immediately with this and then consider, and then hopefully finish that up very quickly and go immediately to continuing closing. Sorry? Tomorrow's 11. Tomorrow's 11, yeah.